Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
1 Samuel chapter number 3. Now, today I'm going to preach. I want you to hear me today. I want to preach today on the call of Samuel. The call of Samuel. Now, Brother Keith, I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you and charge you to preach God's Word today for His glory. Not for your glory, not for your praise, not for the pats on the back. Those things are good. Those things are right at times. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor's due, and you deserve to be honored today, and that you'll deserve to be honored tomorrow, and every time you stand true and preach, you deserve to be honored, amen. But I want to say to you that it's all about God's glory. It's all about Him, and so I can't think of a greater man, and there are men that are as great as Samuel, but there was nobody, in my personal opinion, greater when it comes to preaching, proclaiming the Bible, the Word of God, than this man named Samuel. Samuel, what a man. What a great man of God Samuel was. Samuel was used in a great way to his nation Israel. He was used in a great way to his people, the Israelites. It was during the time of Samuel's days that God changed the whole economy of a nation. When Samuel was born, it was the day of the judges. There were many different judges that would come and rule. But when Samuel came, God used Samuel to anoint the first king of Israel. And so Samuel was such a powerful man of God that he changed the whole country, the economy, and plus, they were in a day, and we'll see this in a little bit, where they were away from God. But God used Samuel to bring revival back to the people of Israel. And what a man of God Samuel was. He was greatly used of God. He was used of God in a great way, and he always gave the glory unto God. He was a man that was always obedient unto the call that God called him to do. He was a man that always gave, thus saith the Lord. He never gave his opinion, gave his philosophy. He said it lines up with God's Word, and that's what I'm going to proclaim. So what a great man Samuel was. Now, before he was called to preach, I want you to look at verse 1. Everybody go with me to verse number 1 of chapter 3. Hear me now, verse 1. There are some things, and this is just an introduction to my 2 points today, but there are some things that we'll find in verse 1 that were involved in Samuel's life before he was called to proclaim the gospel. We're not talking about the instance he was called, we're talking about before he was called. There were some things involved in his life in verse 1 that God knew was in his life, and these are the reasons that God called him to preach. Brother Keith, this is going to be true in your life. If you're God called, it was certainly true in my life being God called. It is true in every man's life that's been God called. Not mama called, not grandma called, not church called, but God called. Every man that's been God called have experienced the same things that Samuel experiences in verse 1. Notice with me, first of all, the Bible says the first 3 words, and the child. The first thing that was involved in the life of Samuel before he was even called of God was salvation. Now, I know in verse number 1, the context is speaking physically. Samuel was a young lad at this time. He was a young man. But spiritually speaking, the only reason you're being called of God is because you're a child of God, Brother Keith. You will never be called to preach. You will never be called to do anything for God until you first become a child of God. So salvation had to be involved. The second thing that was involved is in the Word, the Bible says, and the child Samuel ministered. Minister. That involves faithfulness. Brother Keith, it is believed in my study of Samuel that he ministered there with Eli the priest for 5 to 10 years before he was called to proclaim the Bible, proclaim the Word of God. 5 to 10 years, he was faithful. Paul said, he said, it's a blessing that God counted me faithful, placing me in the ministry, and that ministry was preaching. Brother Keith, before you could be called of God, before I was called of God, number one, we had to be saved and become a child of God. Number two, you had to be faithful. God has never, and He never will, call a man to proclaim the Word of God that is not faithful. That man must show faithfulness. Brother Keith, I'm glad to say you've been faithful. I'm glad to say when it comes to church attendance, you have been here. I'm glad to say when it comes to the things that I have blessed you to be able to minister with a nursing home and the rescue mission, you have been faithful. You've been faithful in your giving. You've been faithful in your attendance. You've been faithful in your good spirit, humble spirit. You've been faithful, and so now God is calling you and licensing you through this church to preach the Word of God. That's a blessing. I'll never license a man that's not faithful. I had one man that when I first came here, there was just a handful of us, and this man proclaimed to be a preacher, and there were so many preachers that came through that a lot of y'all don't even know my early years, but he came through here, and I decided that I would ask a few men to go visit him with me. And let's go out and knock on doors. I mean, when you don't have but 10 or 12 people in church, you better go knock on doors. And so, you know, it's got now where you got all these signs up. You can't knock on anybody's door, and people are scared to open the door now. But it's got, and I can kind of understand that. But back then, it wasn't as bad as it is now. And some men would go visiting with me. This man never came visiting. He never saw the need of going out asking folks, "Do you know the Lord?" He never to me saw the need of inviting folks to his church. One day he comes to me, my office was located here before my dad and I built that office. And it was in there, small, used some men in that Sunday school class know how small it can be. And he came in and said, "Pastor, I'm going to ask you a question. I want to know if you'll write a letter of recommendation to all the pastors that you know and that I know to support me financially to go out west to build a church." And I said, "Brother," I said, I love you, but I can't do it." Well, he looked at me puzzled and said, "Preacher, why can't you do it?" And I said, "Brother, if you're not worried about the souls here in your hometown, how am I to believe you're worried about the souls in the West? Brother, you hadn't been faithful here. How am I supposed to believe you'll be faithful over there?" I'm telling you, Brother Keith, God never calls a man that's unfaithful. You've been faithful, Brother Keith. Number three, not only was salvation involved, not only was faithfulness involved, but number three, it says he ministered where? Where? Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. That involves accountability. The Bible says that Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Those are the three most important words in that verse. It's unto the Lord. You know, at times as a pastor, I have to remind myself, I love my congregation. Brother Freed stood here Sunday night and he said, "Man, your pastor has a pastor's heart." And we've heard that from other men of God. I thank God from a pastor's heart. I'm concerned about my congregation. I will wave the red flag and say, "Don't go there." I will call you on the phone. I will knock on your door and say, "Please don't go that direction. You'll regret it. There's consequences to pay." I don't regret having that spirit as a pastor. But I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this, Brother Keith. Above my church, I'm accountable to the Lord. Brother Keith, you've seen me in some of the hardest times where folks were standing against me. You've seen me mount this sacred desk with courage and not back down. You've seen me preach this Bible and not worry what anybody thought. You know why, Brother Keith? I'm accountable unto the Lord. Brother Keith, don't try to preach to please your wife. Don't try to preach to try to please me or this congregation. You preach and minister unto the Lord. You're accountable to Jesus Christ. I didn't call you. Your wife didn't call you. Your mom, your father didn't call you. The Lord called you. Therefore, you're accountable to Him. Then the fourth thing I want you to see is the Bible says not only was he ministering unto the Lord, but the next two words says what? Before Eli. The Bible says the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord, watch this, before Eli. Now we know Eli at that time was the priest. Hear me, church, don't lose me. Eli was the priest at that time. He was an old man. I believe he died when he was 98 years young. The Bible says he was a heavyweight man. And he sat on a fence, and we may get to this, when the Philistines came and they defeated Israel, and his sons were murdered in that battle. And the Bible says the warrior came from the tribe of Benjamin and said, "We've lost the Ark of God! We've lost the battle!" And he fell backwards off the fence and broke his neck, the Bible says, because he was a heavy man. A man that had a lot of weight. He's an old man. And we're going to talk about Eli in a little bit. But Samuel was responsible to Eli. Now, there was a time, Brother Keith, and I know all of us know Eli and know how he had a tragic end. He was a man that had a great start, but he had a terrible finish. He was like King Asa. He died with diseased feet. In other words, he didn't finish well. Started well, did not finish good. But Samuel was still responsible to Eli. Before Eli, Brother Keith, I'm going to tell you something, and this is something that you already know. When you leave today with being licensed, and you leave with that license certificate, and you leave with our blessing today, I don't know what God has for you. I don't know what God will do with you. But you're responsible to me, and you're responsible to this congregation. I'm telling you, Brother Keith, you're responsible to us. You carry our name. Brother Keith, I guess I've never been so hurt as to have somebody that used to be here that carries our name, and I've had to ask them, don't carry our name anymore. Don't even identify with this church. Brother Keith, please don't let that happen in your life. Stay right with God. Keep some character. This boy lacks character. But Keith, you're a man. I can say you've always had good character. Keep it. You're responsible to me, Brother Keith. And you're responsible to this congregation. You'll carry our name everywhere you go. So have a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Keep a good name, Brother Keith. Now notice these two things with me in closing. There's two things about Samuel's call, Brother Keith. I believe it'll help you. And I believe it'll help us all today, so we'll know how to pray for you, those that's not even been God called. It will help you today. First of all, I want you to notice when Samuel was called. Please don't lose me, church family. Listen to me. When Samuel was called. There's two facts that we know that shares with us when Samuel was called. Number one, he was called when the spiritual light was dimming. Look at verse number one again. Everybody look at your Bible, please. When Samuel was called, when? Number one, when the spiritual light was dimming. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Brother Keith, someone that just kind of scans across that verse and they see the word precious, they might shout, "Hallelujah, amen, isn't that great?" But this is not an amen shouting verse. The word precious there means that it was rare. The word precious there means, like we would say, that valuable jewels are rare jewels. They're precious jewels because they're rare. The Bible says that the Word of God was not honored. It was not loved. It was not respected. It was not placed in the priority, the high list of priorities in the life of the Israelites. The word of the Lord was precious. It was rare. You know why it was rare, Brother Keith? Because spiritual light was dimming. We're talking about the people of God here. We're talking about the people of God who had the great man of God, Moses and Joshua, and had some great judges that loved the Lord and were greatly used of God, like Gideon and Deborah and so forth. They were great people of God. And boy, they were really thriving spiritually. They were really going forward for God. But then they allowed sin to come in. And that spiritual light began to grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Brother Keith, you know the Bible. For those of you that may not know this story, in chapter 3 and 4 and 5, you can read about how wayward the people of Israel had got from God. Very sinful time in Israel. Matter of fact, Samuel was born there in the days of the judges. And when you read the book of Judges, two books back, when you read the book of Judges, you read over and over again, and man did what was right in their own eyes. And they begin to worship false idols. They begin to go after the false gods of the Canaanites and the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Pezerites and the Jebusites. They went after these false gods and they denied God Jehovah, the one that had brought them out of Egypt. The one that was deserving. Are you hearing me today? The ones that was deserving to give them the glory and the honor. And they turned their back on them. And every time they did, God judged them. Brother Keith, we're living in a day where the spiritual light is growing dimmer. Brother Keith, I'm telling you today, it breaks my heart. The spiritual light is growing dim in our land. I want to say two things that proves the spiritual light was growing dim. Number one, corruption of the channel. Now, Brother Keith and church, listen to me. When I say channel, I'm not talking about a channel of water. I'm talking about the channel God was trying to use through to give the Word of God. There was corruption in the channel. The man that God was supposed to be using and desired to use at this time was corrupt. His name was Eli. His two boys were supposed to be the channels that God spoke through. The way God worked in this day, and as He works today, He speaks to the man of God through His Word, and that man of God is to stand and is to give God's Word, every word of it. Don't take nothing from it. Don't add nothing to it. But Eli was corrupt. His two boys were corrupt. I don't even want to go with children in this auditorium what corruption his two boys were involved in, but they were wicked. Very wicked. Therefore, because the corruption was in the channel, the spiritual light was growing dim. Number two, the crowd was corrupt. There was corruption in the channel, and there was corruption in the crowd. The Bible says over and over, listen to me, church family, that the Israelites had gotten away from God. They had got away from saying, glory be to God, as it did after they came through the Red Sea. They've got away from worshiping God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they began to fall down and worship graven images. And they got away from obeying the law of God. And they were getting corrupt and corrupt every day they lived. It was a bad day. Brother Keith, I'm telling you, we're living in days today. It's just like the day Samuel was living. We've seen so many people who call themselves men of God, they're growing corrupt. Brother Keith, I'm telling you, it is a sad day. It's a sad day. As Brother Daniel Freed said Sunday night, and Brother Weaver said it the other night, Brother Darrell Wells said it to us one time. It seems to be a theme of these preachers lately when they've come into our church. They said, we've gone from church to church, and you just can't find a church like this anymore. Just can't find a church that's standing for the truth. They've compromised. They've got away from some things. Brother Keith, I'm telling you, I'm begging you, stay right with God. Preacher, Brother Keith, there are some men that call themselves pastors that don't deserve to be standing behind a pulpit today. They're wicked men. They don't follow God. Their heart's not right. They're deceiving people. And I'm telling you, it scares me. It scares me. Four men I mentioned to my daughter and to another man that I don't want to be in their shoes. In my 13 years, there's been four men that I would not want to be in their shoes. Two of them are preachers. They call themselves preachers. I'm saying I would not want to be in their shoes. If they're saved, God's going to judge them. Now, God's given mercy right now, but the axe will fall because God chastises His children. If they're not, He won't chastise them. But I'm telling you, we've got preachers today that my grandma used to say when I was a little boy, they ain't worth the salt in their biscuit. They ain't worth it. Brother Keith, you be a man of God that's got some character. You be a man of God that preaches. You'll lose some friends over it. You'll even have some family members that will say, well, I don't believe that, Keith, and I don't agree with Keith. And this. You just stay with that book. You stay with that book, Brother Keith. Have some character. Don't let it be said, I'm a member of so-and-so one day if you pastor. I'm a member of so-and-so the church you pastor. And somebody says, that the church where so-and-so pastors? I can't believe that. You wouldn't believe what I heard them say. You wouldn't believe what they do. You wouldn't believe. Don't let it be said, Brother Keith. Don't let it be said. Amen? Don't let it be said. Amen. All right, Brother Keith, when spiritual men, number two, were expiring. Hear me now. Can I get an amen in here? Don't down me. You're going to license this man or we're going to sleep? Say amen. Brother Keith, number one, when spiritual light was dimming. Number two, when spiritual men were expiring. I've already mentioned Eli, so I don't have to go much in here, but the days that Samuel was living, where men who called themselves preachers were not examples. Let me take it back. They were examples, but it wasn't good ones. They were wicked examples. And usually people in the pulpit like that, the people that go to their church are just like the preacher. Their heart's not right. And they flock. The birds of the feather, I thought that's always been true. It's never changed. My pastor says what's in the pulpit will be in the pews. He said, Brother Lee, the people you'll attract will be the people that's like you. They believe in what you're doing. They have the same standards. But he said those people that, you watch those people and what kind of congregation they got. And I'm telling you, we're living in a sad day, Brother Keith. Spiritual men are expiring. Brother Keith, you and I are not, we're not so spiritual that we can't fall. We're not so spiritual that we'll never mess up. Brother Keith, by the grace of God, in all my years of preaching, I was called to preach May of 1997. And ever since 1997, I've been able to preach the gospel in many places. I thank God for what He's allowed me to do. Brother Keith, as of today, I've had a good testimony. Brother Keith, some of these people go with me to Tabernacle, and they see the preachers that come and hug my neck and love on me. You see the preachers that come in here and say, oh, Brother Lee loves the Lord. Brother Keith, I've had a good testimony. Brother Keith, you and I know where we're going. You know how I feel. You know I'm not tooting my horn. I'm trying to encourage you. Keep a good testimony. Let it be said. Hey, now there's a lot of things said about me. But it's not he don't love his people. It's not he don't preach the Bible. It's not he don't study. It's not he don't teach the Word of God where I can understand it. It's not that he had an affair with the organ player. Or the piano player, it's not. It's not that he embezzled the money of the church. That's not my testimony. Well, they say bad things, but it's because I'm doing what's right. Brother Keith, keep your testimony right. Guard it with all your heart. You can have that license, Brother Keith, and you can hang it on your wall, but if your testimony doesn't line up this book, you have nothing. You got to have a good testimony. I'm going to say this in closing. I want you to look with me now. The first thing we wanted to look at was when Samuel was called. Number two, what was involved when Samuel was called? All right, hear me today. What was involved when Samuel was called? Brother Keith, you and I and all those men who've ever been truly called of God, we've been called to preach, proclaim the Word of God. If we live right and we keep sin out of our lives, And when we do sin, we quickly ask God to forgive us with a repentant heart. And we stay humble and right with God. We can have also these things that Samuel had in his ministry. Notice with me in verse number 15. He's awakened early in the morning. He's had a vision. Now God doesn't speak to us now in visions because we have a completed Bible. But in those days, He did speak. And visions and dreams. And so he's speaking. He says, Samuel laid until the morning. Verse 15, look with me. And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. What did God reveal to Eli to Samuel? God said to Samuel, Eli's going to have to pay for his sin. Eli's sons, who are supposed to be priests, that take care of the tabernacle, the temple, the tabernacle, they're going to have to pay for their sin. Well, look what happened. Eli called Samuel, verse 16, and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he, Eli, said, what is the thing the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to me, to thee. And more also, if thou hide anything from me, all the things that he said unto thee. He says, Samuel, what did God say to you? He says, Samuel, he said, even though I may not like it, even though it may not be what I consider positive speaking, even though it may not fill the church up, even though I may not pat you on the back and give you a love offering when you're done, Samuel, give me the truth. And so Samuel, verse 16, told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And look at the result. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. First thing that was involved in the call of Samuel was power. Brother Key, there's so many men today that are just batting the air with their gums. Brother Keith, they have no power. Because their heart's not right, they hadn't studied, they hadn't prayed, I don't know. Maybe not even been saved, they have no power. Samuel had so much power in his ministry, on his preaching, that when he spoke, immediately there was a result. Eli said, it's the Lord. He didn't say, Samuel, you don't know what you're talking about. Samuel, there's no way God would say that. It did such a powerful impact in Eli's life that without hesitation, Eli said, it's the word of the Lord. Let God do what He's going to do. Brother Keith, you and I, we need power. We need God's power. We need that. We need that. Look at verse number 19, talking about the power. Very simple. Some folks say it's just in there just to take up space, but there's a reason we have the record. Samuel grew. Brother Keith, we've got to grow in the Lord to have that power. We've got to ask God to grow us in strength and wisdom, and we've got to have power on us just like Samuel had it. We need that power. And Brother Keith, if you live right and do right, you'll have God's power on your preaching. Number two, there was a presence. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Brother Keith, there's going to be times you're going to preach and you're going to feel like you're all alone. And I'm glad you're shaking, yeah, because if you'd have said no, you'd have been wrong, because the greatest men in the Bible preached and they felt like they were all by themselves. Jeremiah, Elijah, Job, these men, Ezekiel, these men felt like they were all alone. Jonah. But I'm telling you something. Paul made this statement that all men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me. Brother Keith, there's a presence that you'll experience. If you keep your heart right and you do what's right, that presence is God Almighty. And when you feel like no one else is listening, no one else cares what you're saying, there's a God in heaven that's cheering and rooting you on. And He's saying, just preach it, Brother Keith. Just preach my word. There's a presence. Number three, there was preservation. Go with verse number 19. And Samuel grew. There's the power. And the Lord was with him. There's the presence. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. There's the preservation. Brother Keith, that means that when Samuel preached, when he proclaimed the word of God, the Bible says that not one word fell to the ground. It's a picture. Get this picture, church family. Is a picture of a man shooting a bow and arrow at a target. And if you go so far away and you pull that arrow back and shoot that arrow, and it's not aimed right, enough elevation where the arc is just right, that arrow is going to fall short of the target. It's not going to hit the target. Brother Key, preaching is about hitting the target. Folks don't like to be the target. It's not really about the folks, it's about their sin. Hit the target. Don't play games, Brother Keith. Do not be a pansy. Preach the Bible. Hit the target. You have some their bottom lip will drop to the ground. Brother Keith, they've sat in this pew and they've turned to their neighbors. I've seen them drop their head. I've seen all kind of things. Maybe that's why Jeremiah was told by God, don't even look at their faces. Don't even look at their faces. Just preach. Brother Keith, not everybody's going to like what you preach. One right? Sheila, you're the only right there. Anybody else? Archie, say amen. Not everybody's going to like it. But you've got to please the Lord, not people. Now, you don't do it mean, because you ain't going to be effective being mean. Anybody can be mean and tell the truth. You got to be strong, firm, but you got to have some compassion. And Brother Keith, I believe this congregation knows that you love them. I believe that you've proven that. So now I don't want you to pastor this church. That's not your job. That's my job. When you stand behind this sacred desk, don't pastor my people. I'll do that. I'm well qualified. I don't need you to do it. But if God says preach something, and it's not something that I should be dealing with, rear back and preach it, Keith. Hit the target, son. Don't fall short. God will preserve your words if you'll do right. The Bible says that not one word will return void. They'll walk out. Sometimes, Brother Keith, and it's time to go. I'm hungry like you are. Sometimes I preach, Brother Keith, and I thought to myself before I preach, this is one of the best messages I'll ever preach. Truly believe in my heart, this is one of the best messages I've ever heard. I've said before from this pulpit, I said, I want you to hear me today because this is one of the most important messages that I've ever preached in my life. One of the most important. And I'll preach it and think it's the best message and look like people not even interested. But you know what happens, Brother Keith, every time? A day or two later, 3 days later, here comes a text. Here comes a phone call. Here comes somebody Wednesday night weeping. I about done forgot about Sunday's message. I think it failed. Here comes somebody hugging my neck crying. I said, preacher, I couldn't get over what you said Sunday. God worked in my heart. Preacher, that message really helped me. Listen to me. His word will not return void. You just preach it. And you leave the results to God. The success of your ministry is not on how many people get saved. I want you to understand this, Brother Keith. The success of your ministry is not based on how many people you see saved when you preach. It's not based on how many people get right with God. It's not based on how many men is going to be called to preach under your ministry. It's based on were you faithful to preach the Word of God when God wanted you to preach it. And did you do it from your heart with a godly spirit? Amen? Brother Keith, just do right. Your words are preserved. And then I've got two to go. There's a prototype. This preaching involved the power, it involved the presence, it involved preservation, and it involved the prototype. You know what a prototype is? A model. Example. That's what the word prototype means, a model or example. Look with me in verse number 20. This is wonderful. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew. They did not guess. They knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. What a testimony. If you wanted to put something on my gravestone, you know, tombstone, I know some say I'd like to have pepperoni on my tombstone. I'm not talking about pizza today, I'm talking about a real tombstone. But if I wanted something on my tombstone, I would want it to say, and all of this man's family and friends, all that knew him, knew that Lee was established to be a preacher of the Lord, a minister of God. What a testimony. He was a prototype. He's an example even today to you, Brother Keith. He's a prototype, an example, a model even to me. Thank God for Samuel. The Bible says there was no doubt, even though there were a lot of wickedness going on, they knew in their heart, deep down, there were some that may not admit it, they knew deep down that man's a man of God. Amen? They knew it. They may not admit it publicly because they had some all against them, but they knew in their heart, that man's a man of God. I've heard them preach. I've watched them work. I've seen the touch of God on them. I've had families saved under his preaching. That man is a man of God. They may not meant say it publicly, Brother Keith, but they know in their heart whether you're real or not. That's the greatest thing, the greatest feeling, Brother Keith, to no matter how many people may may not appreciate me, may not stand for me, may stand against me. I know in their heart that they know I'm a man of God. It hit me one day, Brother Keith, and I get said that. I said, don't you hear it? When I go preach, they'll say, my pastor said it the other Sunday, he said, I want you to hear the man of God. That's some powerful stuff. Well, you think about that, a man of God. God called us to be men of God. And it hit me one day, my dad, I preached for him. And this is my dad. And my dad's not a mushy fella. My dad, I wish our relationship was stronger as a child. I just wish it was. It kind of hurts our relationship now. But he just wasn't a man that allowed you to get close to him. He just wasn't a hugging type man. He wasn't a man that said, I love you, son. But he said something to me, and I'll never forget it, or to the congregation I was about to preach. He said, I want you to hear my son, because he's a man of God. I have never forgotten that my own daddy would call me a man of God. Brother Keith, I'm telling you, be an example of a man of God. Be an example of a man of God. And then last of all, Brother Keith, what's involved with Samuel's call? What will be involved in God's call for you, Keith? If you live right, do right, study, pray, preach what thus saith the Lord, you'll have power. You'll have a presence. You'll have preservation. You'll be a prototype for other men. And then there's preciousness involved. There's preciousness involved. Verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Brother Keith, it had been some time. I want you all to hear me this. It had been some time since God had spoken to the people of Israel. That's why we have verse 1, the Word of God was precious, rare, and there was no open vision. The reason God wasn't speaking to Israel is because the man or the channel that God was supposed to speak through was not fit to hear God's Word. The reason some of our church members today around the world are not going to hear from God is because the man that stood behind the sacred desk is not fit for it to be used as a channel. Now, a lot of folks like that. They don't want to be disturbed in their comfortable state. They're complacent where they are. Some folks like big churches because you don't know if they're there or if they're not there. You don't know if they show up. They don't want accountability. They don't like that. Some folks like a preacher that doesn't stand for anything because they don't stand for anything. I'm telling you, Brother Keith, that's the age we live in. But Brother Keith, when Samuel come along, now it's sad, Brother Samuel, Brother Keith, that God had, because a man, the man God wanted to use wasn't fit, God had to call a boy.
Right.
That's a sad day.
Right.
The man wasn't fit, so God called a boy to do his job. That's a sad day. But he was so unfit for service, the Bible says, that finally when Samuel began to grow on the Lord and began used of God, that the Word of the Lord came again. It hadn't been there for a long time, but it came again to the people of Israel. You know how it came to them? Because it came through Samuel. God finally found a man that was holy, that was fit, that was right with Him, that He could speak through and He could truly depend on to let it flow through Him and hit the congregation. That's what real preaching is. The function of real preaching is this. You're to disturb the comfortable and you're to comfort the disturbed. Don't ever forget that. That's the real function of preaching. You are to disturb the comfortable. Folks that are comfortable in their sin, disturb them with the Word of God. Shake their foundation. Preach the Bible. Let them know complacency is a sin. Let them know that living in that sin will send them to a devil's hell. Disturb the,
the comfortable, but the disturbed, you comfort them. That you got to remember that, okay? Brother Keith, may God help you. May you be a man that has God's power. May you be a man that experiences God's presence. May you be a man that God preserves His Word through him. May you be a man that is a prototype. May you be a man that's experienced those precious times, Brother Keith. Nothing is more precious. Nothing is more precious to me as a minister of the gospel. Nothing is more precious to me than that time where it's just me and the Lord. And I open His Word and I begin to read and I prayerfully study. And I begin to read and God begins to speak to me. And He begins to reveal His Word through the Holy Spirit to me. And I get so excited, I begin to write notes. And I can't keep up with God. I'm trying to write these notes. I have to tell God, slow down a minute. I can't get it all on paper, God. And then I put it together and then I get up here. And because God revealed it to me, instead of being a sponge, just keep it all in, I come to the church and I said, let me give you what God gave me. And I let it flow through me. Comes from God to His men to the people. Okay? Samuel was a man that was fit for service. He was a man that had his heart right and God could once again speak through Samuel. That's what preaching is all about. God speaking through you. You understand? God speaking through you. Brother Keith, as the pastor of this church, on behalf of this church, we're proud of it. We thank God for you. We thank God for you. Brother Keith, I think God's allowed you to see some examples. Since you've been in this church, when did you join this church? Yeah, okay. 2005. God's allowed you to see some examples. Some have been good, some have been bad. You've been God, and I'm not saying be thankful for the bad examples, but be thankful for the experience. You have before you good examples and bad examples to learn from as a preacher. As a preacher. Learn from those good examples. Learn from those good men of God. And determine in your heart that you'll be a prototype of a true God-called man. Brother Keith, you hear me? Be a prototype, an example, a model of a God-called preacher. Brother Keith, keep good character. Keep good character. Stay faithful. Love your wife. The Bible says required of you to love that woman. It said, how in the world can you love us? Or the church one day you might pastor if you don't love your wife. You're required to love that woman. You're required to be an example of these children. You're required to be an example of all the grandbabies the Lord may bless you with. You're required. You're required to be an example to your family. Every time you go to Cottrell or you go to the nursing home or to the rescue mission, wherever, and knowing you've been licensed now to preach the gospel, be an example of godliness. Your precious mom and dad's here. I know besides your wife and your children, I know Brandy had to work today. We miss her. But I believe if you would want anybody here, you'd want these two here. I know you love these two. He loves you too. I'm going to tell you something about your boy. He's been a good one. I wouldn't give $1 million for Keith Roberts. I'd like to have 100 more of him in this church. We love Keith. He's been an example. Brother Keith, you're responsible to me. You're responsible to this church. You're responsible to old mom, old dad. And you're responsible to the Lord. Do what's right. Keep good character. And love the Lord with all your heart. Church family, look at me. You're responsible too to Brother Keith. You're supposed to pray for this man. You're supposed to encourage this man. How many would agree that Brother Keith don't preach like I do? Raise your hand up. He's different style, isn't he? Just different style. when I'm not here. I go on vacation. I get sick. He fills in for me. Brother Keith Roberts represents me. He's here to fill in for me. Support him. You don't stay at home because the preacher's not here. You ain't got preacher religion. You ought to have salvation. You don't go to church because Preacher Benton's here. You go to church because you love Jesus. You go to daddy's house because you're a child. You support him when he preaches. Support him. If you can't go to nurse home, go. If you go to rescue mission, go. If you can slip him some money, say, Brother Keith, I want to help you in your ministry. Buy you gas. Brother Keith, you're so busy with the youth and the nursing home and the rescue mission and the other things that the preacher wants you to do. And you might need a little time with your wife, Brother Keith. Here's 20. Go take her out and get a Whopper. Amen? I'll give them 40 so Mike can go too. Support them. Love them. We're responsible to this man. How dare we say, Brother Keith, you better not fail. You better not let us down, Brother Keith. And we not get behind him and support him. If we don't support him, he's doomed to fail. If we don't pray for him, he's doomed to fail. So let's get behind the man. Amen? And let's support him. Amen? Amen. Brother Keith, step to the pulpit, if you will. Brother Keith, on behalf of the Open Door Baptist Church, we want to present you today with your license to preach the gospel. The license says this is certified that Keith Roberts, who has given evidence that God has called him to the gospel ministry, was licensed to preach the gospel as he may have opportunity and to exercise his gifts in the work of the ministry by Open Door Baptist Church of Flowery Branch, Georgia, on the 26th day of January 2014, signed by Deacon Chris Shaw and Angela Benton, Secretary, and Pastor Kittrell Lee Benton, Jr. Brother Keith, we also have a gift certificate. See, that hard preaching I was doing, all that singling you out over there, I had a gift for you if you hung in there. Brother Keith has, I've given him some books of my own library. He's got books from the Bible Institute. He's had other books I've given. So I don't know what books Brother Keith has or don't have. We're talking about spiritual books, books for your study. And so we just got him a gift certificate to the Christian bookstore where he can go in there and pick out something that he wants. Amen? Let him, instead of we just thinking he don't have it. So Brother Keith, on behalf of the church, we love you. And God bless you, Brother Keith.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.